This evening, turn with me to Acts chapter 15. We're just about done with this series that we've been doing on Wednesday nights of major events and people of the Bible. And we've been talking about Paul's first missionary journey. And today we're going to highlight some of Paul's tour of duty. He had all kind of stuff that happened. One thing you knew, and I try to put it in today's perspective, you know, where you're as a pastor, you're thinking about you want to have a special meeting or a revival or something like that. Who can we invite over? You know, who can we have? You have missionaries come in, and some of them are really good at, their presentation, or some are good at their preaching and so forth. And so I was just thinking what it'd be like, if in the days that Paul was running around the countryside and we invited him to preach for us, you're going to get one of two things when Paul comes. You're guaranteed. You're either going to get a revival or you're going to get a riot. That's the only two things that ever happened when Paul came to town. Is he was either people got saved and there was a revival that stirred up everybody, that churches were planted, or there was a riot and he was being stoned and cast out. And, you know, one of the two is going to happen when Paul comes in town. But he lived a life of becoming all things to all men. That's what he said several times in the scriptures, in order to win some to Christ. He had a great ability to be able to meet different people throughout the different cities and cultures and all the countries that he went through to be all things to them, that he may be able to preach Christ to them. And he always had the same method and the same message that he used and adapted himself to the situation that he was in order for him to reach people. As you study his journey and his tours and different places you've been, you'll see he ran across all kinds of different people. And he was able to reach a lot of them because he was able to just continue to keep the message of Jesus Christ. So let's look at a few things together. We're not going to look at all the verses, but we're going to highlight a few things. So number one, we see a new problem for Paul here in Acts chapter 15. And verses 36 through 41, it says, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we had preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname name was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas, and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." So we see here, first time something like that is mentioned, even between him and Barnabas, as they traveled the countryside together and would start churches and preaching the gospel, they still had disagreements. And there's going to be times you'll still have disagreements with the brethren or the people of God and with the ministers of God. But this group here, this duo, was able to work it out internally. They didn't take it to the courts. They didn't ask the other people around them what they should do. They worked it out. And there was some contention there, just to the point where they were strong in their what they believed was the right decision to do. And I can understand why Paul didn't want to bring John. He left him, he says here, and in the middle of the work and went back home. We don't know why, but Paul apparently thought it wasn't a good idea for him to leave, and he left. So he didn't want to risk taking him again on this other journey to Syria and Cilicia, because that was a long ways away, and he didn't want to probably take chance of him wanting to go back home again and whatever the reason was. So, but the good thing about it is they handled it properly. They discussed it. They agreed upon a resolution, and they continued God's work. So though they had an issue with what they were going to do, the good thing about it is now they had two teams of people that went out. Barnabas and went with John Mark, and they did works that's not recorded in God's word, and doesn't mean that they didn't do anything. It just means God didn't record their journeys. But Paul and Silas, they went another way, and they confirmed some churches and did some things too. So the good thing was that God's work continued to move forward, and now we have two groups of people going out, and just instead of one. So that's a good thing. So it's a new problem. But then we see later in Acts 16, there's a new recruit. And he says here, then came he to Derbe in Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. So his Timothy or Timotheus means friend of God. That's what his name means. And so Paul meets him here and sees that he's a disciple. He's a believer in Jesus Christ. But he's not from the right bloodline. For Jews, they didn't highly recommend Timothy because his father was not a Jew. He was a Greek. So that was a lot like the Samaritans. You know, they were mixed in their bloodline. And so a lot of Jews would not have even spoken to Timothy, even though he was a disciple, because of his background or his bloodline. But the good news is he had the right blood covering. He was a believer in Jesus Christ. And it just shows that, you know, it doesn't matter where someone comes from, what family they're from, or what their heritage is. It just matters that they're a believer or not. Are they washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, or are they not? If they are, they're a brother in Christ, sister in Christ, and we ought to treat them as so. So Silas trains Timothy, we see in Acts chapter 17. We won't look to that. And teaches Timothy some things. And Paul is encouraged by Timothy. Look at chapter 18, verse number 5. We'll just read these few verses. It says, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And he was getting some encouragement having Timothy there, Silas teaching Timothy. He really liked Timothy, enjoyed the company of Timothy. Of course, you know, we see that he wrote some books, letters to Timothy to help him, encourage him. And then we see in Acts chapter 19, verse number 22, that Timothy was sent out. It says, so he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Eurystheus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. So he met Timothy, a disciple. He didn't care what his background was. Silas took him under his wing, began to train him in the things he needed to do. Paul got encouragement for him being there and learning the word of God and wanting to do something for Jesus. And then he sends him out with another one so they can go out and do something for the Lord. And that's how it needs to be. And we take people in, we encourage them, we train them, we teach them, and we send them out. And that's what Paul did. And so he had a new recruit in Timothy. But then there's also a new rebaptism we see in Acts chapter 19. We're not going to read all that 1 through 7. And it says, I'm just going to read down to verse number 5 or 4. And then said Paul, John verily baptized with baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is Christ, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And so what we see here is that he runs across some disciples, and he asks them, have you received the Holy Spirit, in verse number 2, since you believed? And the only reason he was asking them that then, and we don't ask people that now, is because, again, what I mentioned before is that they had that transition period between when Jesus went up to be in glory and the Holy Spirit was sent down as our comforter. There were people that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah, being a Jew. That's what John's job was when he was here, is to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they were to understand that they were sinners, that the Messiah was coming, so they could accept him as the Messiah, as a nation of people. Now, the nation never did, but a lot of people accepted Jesus as the Christ. But that was when he was on the earth. And then when they continued on, they didn't lose their salvation in the Lord. They just didn't have the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus himself met with some of the disciples when he came back, when they're in the upper room, and he said, receive you the Holy Spirit, and he breathed on them. And that's why we see in other occasions that people would lay hands on them, like in this case, and they would receive the Holy Spirit, because they didn't have it when they believed in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ was still in the earth. And so now that Jesus is gone and ascended, anybody saved from that point would have the Holy Spirit living within them, because now they are with Christ because they're a believer in Christ. So he meets these disciples and finds out that they believe in Christ, but they never received. It was before Jesus, and it was just because of the baptism of that John gave them to repentance. They never actually had that faith. That's why he says that they should believe on him, which would come after him. That's what he was talking about. John, he baptized you of repentance so that you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when they heard this, they understood it, and then they became baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it wasn't the baptism that gave them the salvation. It wasn't the baptism that got them the Holy Ghost. That was a separate event here that you see. It was because they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the testimony is, and God gave us this this direction, is that when you're saved, then you're baptized. You're not baptized, and then you're saved. You're saved, and then you're baptized. And that's why they have this rebaptism. And that's why we see that even today when people come into the churches from different places, and they may not have really believed, they may have understood about Jesus, but one day in their life, they finally give their life to Christ, and they say, well, I was baptized already. Well, that was when you were thinking about being saved. You didn't even know Christ then. Now that you know you're saved, you need to be baptized. And so it's always in that order. So we see that also in Acts chapter 19, verses 13 through 20, we see a new burning that happened. Here, the story is they go into Ephesus, and Ephesus was filled with palm readers, fortune tellers, idol worshipers, and what they called vagabond Jews. Vagabond Jews just means wandering, wanderers. Vagabond means wanderers. So they're just wandering around, no direction, just causing trouble and havoc. They just were just there for because they were there. And they were not the Jews that were, you know, of the synagogue or trusting in God and stuff. They were just doing their own thing, basically. So we're going to read a few of these verses because I kind of like them. And verses 13, and it says, and certain vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, and saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And an evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? I love these verses. That's just one of my favorites. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and fell against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. They thought, because of what Paul was doing, that they could do the same thing. But Paul, of course, is doing it out of the name of Jesus through the power of God. And these guys just thought it was all in what they were saying and not who they had within them. And so, of course, they get burnt by these demons. But while Paul is there, they're preaching, and then people get saved, and there's a revival, and they start burning the books. It says here, all the books that they had that they used for these enchantments and the different things. Verse 19 says, many of them which had used curious arts, which means those that were the palm readers, the fortune tellers, and idol worshipers and so forth, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. That's a lot of books. And so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Why? Because these people not only repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they realized as soon as they got saved that what they're doing is completely wrong. So wrong that the first thing they want to do is just get rid of everything and all of it, no matter what it cost them. In their mind, it was foolishness and wrong and evil against God. And they wanted it out of the house. They wanted it out of the house now. And he says he put it in front of all men. And they all put their books and stuff in there because they got saved. And that's another thing I talked about before last week. When someone gets saved, there ought to be some kind of change. And these guys would not have made it this stuff up and said, well, I'm just going to act like I believe because the whole crowd is believing. Because they would not have burned these expensive books and all these curious arts and stuff they had and getting rid of it all for nothing if it wasn't the fact that they actually were true believers. And so there's a book burning. And then there's profiteers of the sin get burned as well. And so when we see the church that interferes with the prophets of sin, it's always our victory. And that's how it always is. And when you read through that, you'll see that the word of God went out and people got saved, and those that were profiting from this sin were now out of a job. So we see a new burning. Then we see a new reason to keep things short. Acts chapter 20 reminds me of Brother Glenn. Acts chapter 20, verse number 7. I'm sorry I'm picking on you, but you ran over my rug. All right, so it says that upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eucalyptus, and being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down the third loft and was taken up dead. Paul wanted to preach and he fell asleep. And fortunately, we have just chairs and not too far from the floor. So if you fall asleep, you won't really hurt yourself. But he was on the third loft. So when he fell asleep, he fell down dead. That was a new thing for Paul. Eutychus falls asleep and then falls to his death. But the good thing is Paul falls on him and he becomes alive again. And I tell people here all the time, you die in the church, you stay in the church. I am not moving your body. We call it quits and we go to Gigi's and have a sandwich and maybe somebody come by here and pick your body up. But it's not going to be me. And so die at home or something, but don't die here. And I'm not going to revive you. So if you die, you die. I might take your wallet. but that's the only thing I'm going to lift out of that. So here Paul lays on him, falls on him, and he renews his life there, continues on and leaves there. So now the last thing we see in this is Paul's new goodbye in Acts chapter 20, again, verses 18 through 38. We're not going to go through all that, but it says, and when they were come to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews. And he kept back nothing in profit and showed you and had taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and the Greeks, repentance toward God. He's telling what he's been doing and that this is it. He's not going to see them again. God has a different plan in his life. And so he reminds them of the character of his ministry, 18 to 27, all the things he did for the Lord, why he did it, what he accomplished for the grace of God. Now he said, verse 25, now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. And they were shaken up by that because they loved Paul and they wanted him to stick around and come back and visit. But he knew he wasn't going to be back there again. So he charges them, verses 28 through 31, to feed the flock of God, and continue doing the work of God and remember what he's preached to them and continue to do it. And then he commends them to God in verses 32 through 38. Well, basically, he's turning them over to God and to take care of them and to continue to work. Even though he's not going to be there, he wants them to continue to keep the work going forward. So Paul had a lot of things happen to him in his life, some good, some bad. But he did have a good effect on many people, and to the point where, you get saddened when someone has to leave that's been a blessing to you and a help to you and encouragement to you. But God's word and God's work continues to move forward. And sometimes that brings us to different places and we got to move on. And sometimes God has a better plan for that. But it's for us when people move on to continue to keep the work going forward, continue to do what God told us to do and just be faithful in what he called us to do. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you'll stand with me a few minutes as we pray for the needs that we had on our prayer list tonight. And then we'll be dismissed in a few moments.